I don't see Rep. Sam Conger. Is he here? Do I not see him? I don't see him. Welcome, everybody, to the May 23rd, 2011 Senate Committee on Business, Transportation, and Economic Development. We've got a number of public hearings today, as well as some work sessions. So we're going to start off with House Bill 3411. Richard.
House Bill 3411A prohibits portable electronics vendor from issuing, selling, or offering insurance coverage without a limited license from the Department of Consumer and Business Affairs. There is no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact on this measure.
Do we have anybody signed up to testify?
No revenue impact, there's no fiscal impact, and there's very little impact.
Oh, there's Mr. Miller. He must want to talk about this. Mr. Miller, welcome.
Thank you, Chair Bauer, members of the committee. Sean Miller, I'm here today on behalf of Assurion, which is an insurance producer for portable electronic devices such as cell phones and iPads. I'm here this afternoon to ask for your support for House Bill 3411, which is a bill that protects consumers as well as Oregon businesses that sell this insurance product. House Bill 3411 is also supported by cellular retail carriers such as AT&T and insurance companies such as Liberty Mutual, as well as the Oregon Insurance Division. The product that is the heart of this bill is an insurance program that protects consumers' investment in their wireless communications device by insuring against its loss, theft, damage, and internal malfunction of the device. The bill creates a licensing framework applicable to the sale of portable electronics. And currently in Oregon, there is no regulatory structure that exists for the sale of this product. 3411 provides this structure and from a limited license to sell this type of insurance product. The approach set forth in this piece of legislation ensures that a balanced regulatory structure would exist, and the need for this, and you would not need to actually license every single retailer in Oregon that offers this insurance to consumers. You would essentially be licensing the entity, the retailer, and then there'd be training involved to have the retailer sell this insurance product. The example that this is modeled after is the rental car limited license, where if you have a choice, if you go in and rent a car with Hertz or Enterprise, you have the choice of buying that insurance, and you actually just buy it through the retail establishment. Laws similar to this are enacted in most states, including our neighbors up to the north and south, Washington, California. It does provide considerable consumer protections in the form of disclosures to consumers regarding the insurance coverage that's being sold, as well as required training to those retail establishments. We've been working with the insurance division in the interim to put this piece of legislation together. They're here if there's any questions, but again, it's a good bill for businesses who sell this, which is mostly the retail, cellular phone retail companies, and it's good for Oregon consumers since there's no regulatory structure in place currently. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Miller? I guess not. Does anybody from the insurance division want to testify on this? Nope. See a head shake back there, so I assume they're supportive. Anybody else? This is the only one I have signed up. Okay, guess not. So we'll close the public hearing, and I will open a work session on House Bill 3411.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 3411 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Atkinson has moved House Bill 3411 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, is there any opposition to the motion? Senator, we're on 3411, which is an electronic insurance bill.
I love this bill, Mr. Chair.
Oh, it's such a good thing. So is there any opposition? Seeing none. House Bill 3411 is passed to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. And since you love it so much, you want to carry it?
Oh, I'd be delighted.
No, I thought you would.
Representative Congress now here.
Okay. So if I didn't, I'll close on that. And we will open a public hearing on House Joint Memorial 20 representative.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Jason Conger, representing House District 54, the beautiful Bend area. And thank you for giving me a moment to explain HJM 20. It's actually a locally driven bill. There's a kind of a coalition initiated by the Economic Development of Central Oregon in the Central Oregon and Eastern Oregon area that's looking at unmanned aerial vehicles as an economic development opportunity for Oregon. And so HJM 20 very simply asked the President and Congress to require the Federal Aviation Administration to create an expedited licensing process to approve or authorize testing areas for unmanned aerial vehicles or drones. And the reason that we think that this could be very beneficial to Oregon is we happen to have a lot of the characteristics that you need for this new industry, new and rapidly growing industry. We have in Central Oregon, we have wide open spaces that are sparsely populated with a lot of sunshine, good flying days, a lot of areas where these drones could be tested. We have a skilled aviation-oriented workforce already, and we have institutions of higher education that stand ready to educate more employees for these industries. One of the features of HJM 20 that I failed to mention is that it asked the FAA to target for this expedited process areas that are experiencing high unemployment. And so, again, the idea is to look at this as an economic development opportunity. And it turns out that the industry itself is rapidly growing. The applications for the technology are proliferating. And it's not just in the military. It's in all kinds of different applications. One most recently I noticed in the news was drone technology was used to inspect the nuclear reactors in Japan following the tsunami. And so it's a very exciting industry. It's growing. Some people even characterize it as the future of aviation. And so what we're asking, again, is for the gating item, apparently, in this industry is the FAA. And the process to approve testing areas for drones is exceedingly slow, kind of like my testimony. And and it needs to be sped up. So, again, that's all HJM 20 asked for. It's a good bill. And hopefully it will lead to the approval of a testing area in Oregon. And the industry already exists in the Northwest. The opportunity's there, and I hope that we'll see jobs being created in the Northwest in this industry.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions, Representative?
Thank you very much.
I have no one signed up to testify on this. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify on House Joint Memorial 20? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing and we'll open a work session on HJM 20.
Mr. Chair, I would pass HJM 20 with the do adopt recommendation to the floor.
Senator Atkinson has moved HJM 20 to the Senate floor with a do pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, is there any opposition to the motion? Everybody likes drones. House Joint Memorial 20 is passed to the Senate floor unanimously with a do pass recommendation. We'll close the work session on HJM 20. I believe the Drone Master, Senator Atkinson, wants to carry this. All right, so we'll open a work session on House Bill 3619.
Richard. House Bill 3619 exempts individuals from requirement to obtain an adjuster's license if they collect and furnish claim information and conduct data entry, including those who enter data into automated claims adjudication system under the supervision of a licensed adjuster or insurance producer. There's no revenue impact and there's minimal fiscal impact on this measure.
I guess what I forgot to do, too, is open the public hearing and open the work session. So we are in public hearing and work session. Mr. Powell.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, my name is John C. Powell, representing Assurion. And you probably thought you were done with portable electronics insurance bills today, but one more. I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 3619. The bill deals only with, as I mentioned, portable electronics insurance and seeks to set up a regulatory system whereby individuals that perform only clerical tasks of collecting data and entering data into a computer system do not have to be licensed as adjusters, but rather be supervised with a 25-to-1 ratio by an adjuster or an insurance producer. Additionally, the bill defines several terms, including automated adjudication system, portable electronics, and portable electronics insurance. I'm happy to answer any questions, should you have any.
Questions of Mr. Powell? Senator Atkinson.
Mr. John C., out across the fruited plain, has there been people losing their sleep over this particular issue?
Chair Byer, Senator Atkinson, no.
Well, thank you.
Only if they drop their iPad.
I see. That was Sean's bill.
Different bill.
It's an impressive piece of work.
Any other questions?
Apparently none. Thank you, Mr. Powell.
Thank you.
That's the only one I have signed up. Does anybody else wish to comment on this bill? There's a lot of support out there. So we will close the public hearing. We are in work session. Senator Atkins.
Out of my deep respect for all things John and John's son, Pal, C, I would move House Bill 3619A to the floor with the due pass recommendation with the caveat that Senator Edwards carry it.
We probably can arrange that.
Discussion on the motion.
Our Senator Atkinson has moved House Bill 3619A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Seeing none, is there any opposition? Other than that look of disdain down there at the end, I guess not.
I don't have to carry it. That's the good news.
All right, Senator Girard says he supports this bill if he doesn't have to carry it. House Bill 3619A is moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation by unanimous consent of the committee. We'll close the work session on 3619. Senator Edwards, thank you for volunteering on this one.
No problem. My agent takes good care of me.
We will open a public hearing on House Bill 3124.
Richard. House Bill 3124A requires the Oregon State Police to convene a work group focused on developing recommendations for certification process on amusement devices placed in premises licensed by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. There's no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact on this measure.
Chair Johnston.
Chair Byer.
This is stupid.
How are you?
Stupid. Hi.
So tell us why we need this bill.
Well, I don't know how much detail you want me to go into. But
as much as you think is necessary to get a yes vote.
Which is probably not as much as you think.
Yes. I detect some support.
Yes. Well, since 2008...
Jerry, could we get you to put your name on the record, please?
My name is Jerry Johnston. I live at 3335 Goose Cross Lane in Eugene. I own Amusement Unlimited based out of Eugene. I've been in the amusement game business for 35 years. I'm the past president of our state association, and I'm also currently a vice president of our national trade association. This, of course, is all volunteer work. Since about 2008, we've had an issue with a couple of state police officers interpreting the law, and we've had about 10 members of our association had machines confiscated some two or three years ago. They have not been returned to them. They've not been charged with anything. The lottery division has 30 police officers. To our knowledge, only two of them have done this. The other 28 officers have not There has not been one citation issued in 20 years on this statute. There is, and these games are harmless amusement devices. And we have tried to work with the lottery and the state police. We've had meeting after meeting. And our original amendment, which Charlie Cheeks wrote up for us in the House, apparently now we're over here with this trying to propose an advisory committee. The advisory committee came from the state of Montana, where I talked to an individual back there, and they have an advisory committee that to work out problems that occur such as this, although they haven't had this problem back there. These machines are legal in 47 states. The only exception is Montana, South Dakota, and Oregon. And so in the spirit of trying to work this, resolve this situation, we proposed copying the Montana Advisory Committee. They have three senators or representatives. They have three members from the industry, one from the Indian tribes, a private citizen, and the lottery, and they meet four times a year to resolve any issues. And so we're proposing to, we believe that if we show people with common sense, they'll realize that these games are not, they're strictly amusement games. Senator Edwards was kind enough to come by my office a couple months ago, and I showed him one of the games in question, a game that was actually picked up in Lincoln City. Our member was arrested, taken to jail, and booked on this game. It's a game called Box Drop. And I will guarantee you, you could show 100 people that game, and nobody's going to see a gambling game in there. And this conversation could go on for a couple hours because...
Well, Jerry, let me shorten it up here. It sounds like, if I read the bill correctly, all you're asking for here is to convene an interim work group, specify the membership, to set up standards and a process for certifying these so that there's more clarity?
Yes, we believe that we're not getting... The lottery is looking at it from a pretty narrow point of view. And we believe that with leadership from you folks that we can, because there is not a problem. This is a problem that's been created.
Okay. Just checking here to make sure that there wasn't a senator or representative that would have to serve on it. Sir, do you wish to comment?
Yeah, my name is Mike McWilliams. I'm from Portland, Oregon. My company is... we are a distributor of all kinds of amusement equipment. We have an office in Portland, an office in Seattle. We cover the five great western states, and Oregon is the only state where these games are not legal to have. In Washington, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, California, they are very legal to operate. Oregon's the only one where there's some issues. We have created a special key for Oregon that locks out the games that, according to the lottery, they did not like. That's kind of a moving target because once we get that key made up and have all the Oregon games with that key in there, all of a sudden one of these policemen will come up with another game that they don't like. So we have to redo the whole key all over again. It's just it's a moving target. So everything's being done very subjectively. Although there's better solutions, we think that this committee is a great way to start, and we definitely want to see it go that direction.
Questions of this panel?
Real quickly.
Senator Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jerry, could you clarify, who is it that is coming and confiscating these games? Who makes the determination? Is it a lottery?
The lottery division.
State police?
State police. The lottery division has a special state police detachment of 30 officers. And of those 30 officers, only two have picked up these machines. And it's approximately 10 companies and about 25 machines, mostly in the Portland, North Coast area, that these two officers have picked up these machines. Their response has always been that they're just following the statute. But the other 28 officers are interpreting it different. It's basically unequal enforcement, in my opinion.
I assume there's no payout.
There absolutely isn't. We've met with the lottery and the state police probably 10 times over the last few years. In fact, we've had, at one time there was a Lieutenant Steiner who was in charge of it, and he went to one of our president's office, and they showed him a game that was called Chug 21. And because they wanted to look at it, him and another detective. And after looking at it, they said, well, no, there's no problem with this game at all. 2 years later, one of these detectives picked that up, and there's a fellow over in Lincoln City now that I know the judge and the prosecutor are waiting to find out what's going to happen here in Salem. These are Class C felonies, and we have bent over backwards trying to solve this, and to be honest with you, we have not gotten very far.
Yeah, this is a result of a statute that was started in 1992, and you all know what's happened to the gaming industry, video game industry, since 1992. There's all kinds of new games that are out there, so this needs to be modernized to encompass a lot of the new entertainment games out there. These games are not great games, even though that's kind of the term they use. You cannot win money on them. You cannot gamble on them. They're strictly for amusement only.
I'll say that there have been testing laboratories from states like New Jersey and Nebraska that have looked at these games, and there has been court decisions in North Carolina that these games are not capable of paying out. They can't accumulate credits. You can't win anything.
Senator Atkinson, you had a question?
A question, comment. First of all, I appreciate that you're here. I am very skeptical of passing legislation to create work groups and task forces. It's just a thing with me. But my question or comment is, why not just fix the problem? I mean, why not just fix the problem? Because, I mean, to have you sit down with OLCC seems like,
you know, actually lottery. It's not the OLCC.
It says OLCC in here. Which one is it, Mr. Berger?
It's the lottery. It says Oregon State Lottery on the bill.
And
Oregon Liquor Control is also involved in the work group.
It says both.
OLCC and Oregon Lottery.
Senator Atkinson, our original draft that we sent to the House basically modernized a 20-year-old statute. It did not... It was still illegal to own a gray machine. A gray machine is one that is capable of paying off, that accumulates credits. That's the definition of a gray machine. And all ours said was that amusement games like Chug 21, etc., you could play. That's all it did. But the lottery, and if you wanted to read the lottery director's testimony, he basically accused us of being members of the mob and said that this bill would legalize gray area games in Oregon. And his testimony, I encourage you to read it.
Just a comment. Why do you want to be in a work group with that guy? Why not just fix the problem?
Senator, I love you. I would love to just fix
instance,
the problem.
I don't get it, but just...
I think he had a constitutional problem on the other side of the building.
Yeah.
The issue.
He should have been on the soil bill.
Well, just kidding. If we establish a work group, I know a really good chair.
No, you don't.
To be honest with you, this idea of the advisory group was kind of let's see if we could work this way to work it out. But the problem is, there's a couple problems. One, we have 10 members that have Class C felonies and have had machines that have been sitting in lockup for 2 to 3 years. Now, and I don't personally, I am not involved in this. I don't have a machine. I don't have a dog in this hunt. But the idea that we should have this work group and then have to wait 2 more years to get something done, in my opinion, isn't right.
As I read this, though, Jerry, I think what the bill is proposing, Senator, is to establish a group to come up with the standards. See the standards next time. Okay. Any other questions for this panel?
If there was any way to establish the original bill, we would certainly support it.
Mr. Jacobson, I think the problem with our Johnson, excuse me, I think the problem would be is you can't get the other one. Anybody else? Thank you very much, gentlemen. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on
Thank you for your time.
House Bill 3124? No? We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3124 and open a work session on House Bill 3124.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
I move the bill to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 3124A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, is there any opposition to the motion?
Yes.
Yes. Senator Atkinson is opposed. Is there anyone else? House Bill 3124A is moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Atkinson in opposition. We'll close the public hearing, the work session on House Bill 3124. And Senator Edwards, would you like to carry this? Senator Starr, did you want to carry this?
I'm sure Chris will do a great job. Senator Edwards, you do a fantastic job.
So which one of you would carry the bill?
You.
Edwards. I asked because I thought you mentioned earlier, Senator.
No.
All right, so now we're back up to, we do not have fiscal on House Bill 3316, so we can't move that today. House Bill 3150, we'll open a work session on House Bill 3150, and where is Senator Burdick when we meet her? It's her bill. Let's stand at ease for a few minutes here while we find Senator Burdick. Back in session, in work session on House Bill 3150, Senator Burdick.
House Bill 3150A authorizes a road authority to designate speed on neighborhood greenways 5 miles per hour lower than the statutory speed. We heard this on May 5th, and at that time there were 3 amendments. Dash A3, which removed the word neighborhood greenway from the bill, and so did basically the same thing without a definition. We had the A4 amendment, which changed the term greenway to byway, and we had the A6 amendment, which allowed the Department of Transportation to establish a designated speed of 75 miles per hour instead of 70 miles per hour.
All righty, Senator Burdick.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I would move the A3 amendment to House Bill 3150.
Senator Burdick has moved the A3 amendments to House Bill 3150. Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chair, this just gets terminology. This does the same thing as the original bill does, but it just gets the greenway terminology out of the
gets
bill.
Gets the green out of the bill?
Yes, the green
gets
out of the bill.
Gets the green out of the bill.
This is now a no-name bill, which means that they can name all of these areas after me.
Is there any opposition to the amendment, to the motion? There is none. The A3 amendments are adopted. Now, I will ask, is there any other amendments that anybody wishes to offer?
I'd like to do a conceptual amendment, so we make sure
we're
that...
We're not doing conceptual amendments.
We make sure they're named the Burdick Way.
The Burdick Way?
Burdick Way.
We can make that as a suggestion of the city of Portland. Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the House Bill 3150 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick has moved House Bill 3150 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Senator Giron.
Yeah, I would just like to say that we've had several bills now for the urban centers, and I really get frustrated in the fact, in living in rural Oregon, that we can't get some changes that we need out there. But I will vote for this since it's going to be named the Burdick Way. I think it's the wrong way on a one way.
That makes it a bicycle bill.
There you go.
Is there the other?
Mr. Chair, I support the bill, but it could have been a lot better if we didn't have a relating to clause problem.
This bill could have gone a lot faster.
Could have gone a lot faster bill if we had had a little more chance. Okay. Any other real discussion on this bill?
Oh, that's real.
Okay. Any other discussion on this bill? None? Is there any opposition to the bill as amended? Seeing none, House Bill 3150 as amended is moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Burdick will carry. We will close the work session on 3150, and we will open a work session on 2700. Let's see here, put this down. Richard.
House Bill 2700 includes a removal and fill activity for linear facility maintenance in the types of projects within the Department of State Lands Removal and Fill Permitting Program. This bill was originally heard on May 12th, and there's no revenue impact and no fiscal. I also have a B6 and B7 amendments with no revenue and no fiscal impact on both of those.
Okay. Last 2 weeks ago we did this one?
May 12th.
We had about 2 hours of testimony on this, and I think we got everybody who was at a distance, so I'm just going to go back to that list and ask the people who asked to testify then and didn't have a chance if they wish to comment today. So just going down the list here, the first one I have is Greg Peden. No need, don't want to testify? Okay, Greg. Brian Craig. Welcome, Brian.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee. For the record, Brian Krieg, here representing the Plumbing Mechanical Contractors Association, but very much in support of 2700. It would provide a better, more reasonable process for putting in large facilities here in the state. It would mean opportunity to get people back to work. There's been a backlog of projects out there of different natures, both for large scale and small scale public and bigger units across the state. So that's why we're here today. Support the bill and urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, Brian? Seeing none, thank you. Roger. Does he want to testify? Can you see him?
No.
Sorry. Go to the next person. Oh, okay. Steve Lanning, is he here today? I see Steve. We'll move on down the list here. Joe Esmond. Let's see Joe. Who else do I have here? John, I think you're it.
Joe's
here. Okay, Joe, can you come on up too, please? I'm just going through the list of people who signed up and weren't here last time.
Good afternoon, Chair Beyer,
Members of the committee, do you want Joe to go first?
No, go first.
However.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'm John Molis, representing the Oregon State Building and Construction Trades Council, and I'm here to testify this afternoon in support of House Bill 2700B. It's a pretty simple and straightforward bill, which will help provide function and certainty to this process, similar to the function and certainty that existed before an inadvertent change was made 10 years ago. A change in definition to the term applicant was made in 2001, which only allows those who own land on a proposed project alignment to speak with the Department of State Lands regarding linear projects such as highways, rail and water lines, and transmission lines. This bill would correct that inadvertent mistake and expand the definition of applicant to include potential project owners. This would allow project owners to obtain a permit from DSL for preliminary project alignment research activities. Even with this definition and subsequent permit from DSL, a project owner may not undertake fill or removal activity without a landowner's consent, a right, title, or interest with respect to the property, or court order or judgment authorizing the use of the property. This proposed change in statute will allow a more efficient permitting process, which will save substantial amounts of time and money by all parties involved. And I'm going to shorten up my testimony because I know you folks have been through a lot of this, and I appreciate the committee's taking the time and interest to sort through the facts in this issue. So I'm just going to skip pretty much to the end. 2700B would save project owners in not having to acquire land that may not be necessary, and landowners from having to go through this process that if in the end their land would be used for the project alignment. And I know all the members of the committee know how difficult the economic times have been in our state for the last couple years, and I know that you're all aware that the building trades have been hit especially hard. For the last 2 years, our members have averaged 35% unemployed. In fact, in some locals and areas, it's been as high as 50%. And a yes vote for this bill will help put certainty back into this process. It will take some of the projects that have been on hold due to this uncertainty and get them started back up and provide opportunities for hardworking Oregonians to go back to work. So a yes vote is a vote for good government, good jobs, and a good economy. And I respectfully request and urge a yes vote on 2700B. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Any questions of John? See none. Joe?
Good afternoon, Chair Beyer, members of the committee. My name is Joe Esmond, a business agent for the IBEW Local 48 based in Portland. I'm 3,700 members. Again, you all know we face an energy crisis. We need transmission lines across the state to move things around. So I'll be very brief for a change and urge your support for House Bill 2700. It's a good common sense bill, good government, and I think it will send a signal to people in the business community outside of the confines of the Willamette Valley that Oregon is open for business. Let's build some stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Questions of Joe? No?
Thank
all
you
right. Chris Beck and Roger Beyer, have you on the list?
These two came up last time.
Did you come up last time?
I did.
Okay, then never mind.
Good afternoon, Chairman Byers and members of the committee. I'm Chris Fick with the League of Oregon Cities, here to testify in support of House Bill 2700. Don't want to reiterate what's already been said. Just want to point out that a couple municipal projects could be held up if legislation fixing this problem with the definition of applicant isn't passed in this legislative session. The Lake Oswego Tigard pipeline has been much talked about, but some others that may be of interest. Salem is in the fourth stage of a five-stage pipeline project, $25 to $30 million project that's going to bring water to the city of Turner, expand water access to the city of Turner from Salem's treatment facility in Staten. Gresham is working with the Oregon Department of Transportation on a transportation project to increase access to 1,300 acres in the Springwater Industrial Area. And in the Tualatin River Basin, the cities of Beaverton, Hillsborough, and Forest Grove, as well as several special districts, are considering partnering in the construction of a 7-mile pipeline project from Hag Lake to the drinking water treatment plant in Forest Grove. The completed project is estimated to cost $1.3 billion and bring 40,000 acre-feet of stored water to Washington County residents and another 17,000 feet of stored water to enhance flows within the Tualatin River. So because of those projects and others that are in the works, we urge you to pass House Bill 2700. Thanks.
Thank you. Questions of Chris? Seeing none, thank you. Director Soliday, can I ask you to come forward? Thank you. There's just some questions. I've gotten a lot of email and questions about this. People believing that this bill will change the process and allow third parties, I guess, transmission companies or pipeline companies to come onto their land and get a permit and start work on a project without taking ownership or some kind of legal title. Could you clarify that?
Mr. Chair, this bill would not allow that. The bill would allow linear projects proponents to apply for a permit. It would allow the department to issue those permits, but no work could begin on a project until the project proponent applicant was the owner of the land, have a right in the land through a court proceeding, or have the permission of the landowner.
What's the importance of an applicant being able to apply?
So that they can begin the process, so that we can work with those applicants to determine the route for these linear projects, to make sure that they are avoiding or minimizing impacts to waters of the state as they are building those. It also allows them to begin other processes, permit processes that are required before those projects can be fully permitted by the state.
Is that part of the notification process, so that people know where it's going to be, or?
Mr. Chair, we currently, while the statute is permissive, we require ourselves in our rules to notify adjacent landowners when we get an applicant, and we ask the applicant when we get an application, we ask the applicant to identify who those adjacent landowners are, so that we make sure that we capture them all. And this bill would simply move that requirement from our rules into the statute and change the may to a we shall notify property owners along those projects and adjacent property owners.
I know from my prior experience, I'm mainly familiar with this along electrical transmission mm-hmm. lines, and from that, I know that it's rare that the original application turns out to be the final one. Is that your experience?
Mr. Chair, in these big projects, I would agree that that is the exception rather than the normal. I think particularly with a very long linear project where you may have several water crossings that are occurring, you may have several impacts to wetlands depending on whether you're on the east side of the state or the west side of the state. So oftentimes what comes in the door is not what actually gets permitted at the end of the process.
It sounds like this is a way to sort of let people know where things are.
That's the intent of the process as we use it now with all our other applications that come in the door. An application comes in, we notify adjacent landowners so they can participate in the process. And one of the things I want to mention, when we heard testimony 2 weeks ago, there were concerns raised about landowners not being able to appeal decisions. And they were referring to a section of our statutes that allow an applicant to appeal a permit denial or a condition that's in the permit. There is a separate section of our statutes that allow anybody who's aggrieved or adversely affected by a permit approval to also appeal. So the landowners have just as much right to appeal as an applicant does in our process.
Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Soliday. Does passage of this bill in any way curtail or minimize a landowner's private property rights?
It does not. And I've tried to think about how do you succinctly describe what this bill does change. And I think the way to describe it is it affects when a condemnation process is likely to be used. And it puts the condemnation process at the back end as opposed to the front end, because the way the statute is currently written, in order to come in our door, you have to have permission of the landowner or possession of the land ownership. And if you aren't able to reach voluntary agreement with the landowners, you have to use the condemnation process. So you'd be doing that at the very front end before you ever came in the door. And what these changes do is move that process to the very back end. So they go through the permit process. They know where the route is going to be before they go through the landowner process.
Personal question. So is it fair to say that that passage of this bill potentially will save either consumers or ratepayers dollars because the utility or the local government doesn't necessarily have to purchase land that goes unused?
Mr. Chair and Senator Starr, I believe that would be the case. So they won't be condemning property they're not going to use at the back end of the process.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Actually, it would seem that it might put pressure on, if they were condemning it first, it might put some pressure on DSL to approve a route that you think may not be the best route since they already own it.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that's correct, and that's one of the concerns I've raised in testimony, and that is we believe that if we're going to protect the water resources, we want to work with the applicant on where that route should go as opposed to having them decide a route, come in to get an application from us, and then us saying, well, we actually think it, you know, if you'd moved it over here a little bit, you could have avoided that impact or you could have minimized that impact.
In fact, I want to be real clear, the condemnation piece of this, it always... dealt with this a lot at the city council and others. Nobody likes that, and very seldom is it ever used, but it actually, the condemnation authority, I believe, goes back to common law. The public good.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
As I think it's been in the state constitution since Oregon was created as a state for utilities in cities and counties.
Right.
Okay. Other questions? Seeing none? Okay, we are in work session. We have a number of amendments.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2700 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick has moved House Bill 2700 be engrossed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, opposition to the motion. Senator Girard is opposed. Anyone else? Seeing none, House Bill 2700 is moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Girard is opposed. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2700, and I believe that takes us to the end of our agenda today. Is there anybody else? No, excuse me.
Carry over.
I have to carry over House Bill 3316 because we don't have a fiscal.
I'm just saying, carry over anything else we didn't move.
As well as carrying over, Carolyn, anything else we didn't name that's still on our agenda.
This is one of those. It's crazy.
I'll carry it. We are adjourned.